Hi Nation, today we have a return guest on, Sachin Laddie, who is a first responder, veteran, mental health advocate, 18 years in law enforcement. He's running across Canada in 2025, but starting June 5th on National Running Day, he will be running 60 kilometers a day for 52 days. That's to signify the distance from Vancouver Island to the Terry Fox Memorial. And Satch is doing this to run awareness for first responder and veterans with PTSD and OSI. You can get involved at Satch in Motion on Instagram and www.satchinmotion.ca. Enjoy today's episode.
Hello, Hive Nation. Welcome back to the Hive Nation podcast. Each week, we have leading experts in personal and professional development share their journeys and expertise to help you connect, engage, grow, and evolve.
This episode of the Hive Nation podcast is sponsored by Lost River Distillery. Vodka crafted by hand, enjoyed by the best.
And welcome back to another episode of the Hive Nation podcast. And so today we have an old friend back with us as well. Mr. Sachin Laddie is back with us. Sorry, I should actually grant it. Mr. I Never Skip Arm Day Sachin Laddie is back with us today. And So I want to start off with, I want to give a shout out to my partner, Mr. Greg Cooper. So Greg gave blood again this morning, and I encourage everybody else to, you know, get out there and do that as well. You don't have to put it on anything you want to, but just do it for yourself, right? Just go ahead and do it for the well-being of yourself and know that you're creating a difference in the background. Second guy I'd like to give a shout out this morning to is our friend of the Hive Nation, Mr. Nick Lewis. Nick started training camp again with the Stampeders as a coach, and CFL season is upon us, getting ready for us. So good luck, Nick, and continue to kick ass like you usually do. And as a preemptive to this podcast, June is Men's Mental Health Month. So Satch is going to tell us about his next journey as to he sees it fit. First of all, I'd also like to say, like, so Satch is going to be doing 60 kilometers for 52 days in a row. So that means that Satch is going to have more kilometers on his shoes than most of you have on your vehicle. Think about that for one quick second, and let's change that here a little bit, possibly. But Satch, why don't you, I'll let you take it away, but why don't you, you know, tell the listeners as to what you're going to be doing going forward, not only for June, but also, you know, your bigger plans going forward here.
For sure, man. Thanks. And thanks for inviting me back on again to share what I'm doing. Yeah, so starting June 5th, Global Running Day, I will kick off from the Coquitlam area, the hometown of Terry Fox. I'll be running 60 kilometers a day for 52 days consecutively. And I'll be doing that around the BC area to start. So, you know, various different cities around the town, you know, Vancouver, Surrey, Langley, like various areas in the lower mainland. I'll be running 60 kilometers each day. And then from there, I'll into July, probably in and around July 13th, I'll fly to Edmonton, run from Edmonton to Calgary. And then from there, fly to Toronto, run from Toronto to Ottawa, and then go to Halifax and run there, and then come back home and finish it off. So each of those, every single day, 60 kilometers a day. And I'm doing it to raise funds and awareness for veterans, first responders, emergency personnel in uniform that are struggling with various different mental health issues. And overall, just from a mental health perspective in general, I'm doing this, right? Not just for one group of people, but for everybody, and to raise that awareness. And in so doing, I've created a fund now. So it's called the Such in Motion Fund. So any donations that are made to that fund, I can issue tax receipts now. So to individuals or corporations, I can now issue tax receipts. And the goal behind the fund is to create a proof of concept over the next couple of years to eventually create a charity, the Such in Motion Foundation, which will, you know, hopefully in the coming years generate significant amounts of money through the endeavors that I do, and then be able to disperse those funds across various different charities across the country. So that's kind of what I'm doing in a nutshell for now.
That's amazing. Like, congratulations on that initiative, because you know, starting off a charitable fund is not the easiest thing to start with, first of all, and second of all, it's not the easiest to maintain. And so I tip my hat to you, Satch. You know, thanks for doing that. So so that's in the short term. Let's discuss further out now.
Sure. Yeah. So essentially, over the last couple of years, I've been training to attempt to break the record for the fastest run across Canada, which I will attempt to do next year in 2025. And last year, I ran 22 marathons and 22 consecutive days across BC, which was kind of a training block to help prepare me for this year. And this year, 60K a day for 52 days is to help me get prepared for next year. And to attempt the record to break the record would require me to run 110 kilometers every single day for 66 days. So, you know, look, man, I don't know if I can do it. I'm training as hard as I can. I'm training as if I'm going to do it, all the things. And we'll see what happens in 2025 if I can. But I definitely know that I'll be able to run far more than I would have anticipated 4 years ago. Because 4 years ago, I was barely able to run 5 kilometers. So when I started on this journey, 5 kilometers was a challenge. Another year, running 100 or 80 or 90 every single day, it'll be a challenge, but I could do it. So, you know, that's the long-term goals. And man, you know what I'm pretty excited about is I'm excited that I get to be someone who can attempt that, right? To just run across the country and meet people all over the country. Number two, I'll be the first person of color to ever do it. So no one has ever done it that looks like me. And I think that is a significant point, man. And I didn't really think it was. Only until recently I started really understanding how maybe significant that could be. Because I've been running a lot of races. I've been doing, you know, ultras and trail runs. And predominantly most of the people engaging in these are Caucasian people, and it's not a good or bad thing. It's just, you know, maybe the awareness for certain groups isn't quite there. And if I can be somebody who runs across the country and there's one kid in, I don't know, Surrey who sees me do it and is inspired to do something for other people, man, that's pretty cool. So these are all the reasons why I'm doing it and how excited I am for the future.
Yeah, that's awesome, Satch. And you know, I first thought you said you had a great tan, but
so it is too. Hey man, I was outside for a few hours, so I did get a bit of a tan.
So thanks for clarifying that.
Me too. If you can't tell, you look like skull is only white, shade number 001.
You look like, yeah, mayonnaise.
But he's got a bit of the Nova Scotia lobster look almost.
It's the collar. It really accents it.
Sorry, bro.
That's awesome. And that's, you know, to have that initiative and, you know, like you said, like to inspire somebody. And, you know, like you talked about, like, you know, 4 years ago or 5 years ago, you couldn't do 5 kilometers. Well, you know, now we talked about that off camera about, you know, how can you challenge yourself and what can get you to the next level. So anybody who's listening to this, you know, Satch never started at 60 kilometers. I'll tell you that for free. And so that, you know, challenge yourself to do 1 kilometer today. Right. Like, and
yeah, I mean, people, you know, what's crazy, man, it's like, I'm really starting to understand this because I'm meeting so many people and talking to so many different people and people don't understand what they're actually capable of. I mean, man, look, I didn't know what I was capable of. I still don't.
Yeah,
but now I'm in the game of trying to figure out what I'm capable of. And that's the cool part. Like, anybody can get where I'm at from a mindset perspective. Just be curious as to what you can do and keep pushing the envelope and see what happens.
Yeah. That's it made me think of a discussion we had when we had you on before, when we talked about, you know, everybody can relate to running, right? And pushing it and chasing that distance because it's definitive and everybody is capable. Most people are capable, right? What's the difference in the, like, the pain cave and like the challenge of a 5K versus a half marathon versus 60 kilometers?
Yeah, it's a good question, man. It's a different sport. right? If you're running 100, what's the difference between 100 meters and a 5K? It's a different sport, right? So what I noticed, because I did a lot more speed training this time around, and what I noticed was doing a 5K was freaking hard when I was getting after it. Because you're trying to get to that threshold point where the point where you kind of, your body's saying, I want to stop, man. I want to throw up. I want to do this. I want to do that. And when you feel that is when you continue going into it. And so a lot of, so for me, when I was running, picking up my pace and speed, training 5K and 10K on a track, man, it's hard because you're redlining it. Now, from a 60 kilometer perspective, or let's say a 50 or 60, whatever, it's a different feeling altogether. It's not a burning sensation in your lungs. It's not like you're gasping. It's not a speed thing. It's your body is in pain, your legs are hurting, your feet are hurting, but it's not your lungs hurting, right? And so it's just being able to manage the discomfort over a period of time. And in my experience, what I like more is that part of it, because if you're managing and trying to navigate through pain over hours, now I think there's a difference in terms of how you can expand your mental capacity. Whereas if you're running a 5K, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20 minutes, and that's it in one occasion. Now, mind you, of course you have to train all the time to get that 5K down to 18 or 19 minutes, but still training to get to a 60 or 100 is hours, hours every week.
And so with that too, is that time that you're under that discomfort, you know, that time under tension, is that one of your strategies that, you know, you're so focused on, you know, oh, I'm 30K in, this hurts, but it kind of clears your mind of all the noise, you know, that we deal with during the day where, oh, I got these deadlines, you know, my girlfriend's mad at me, you know, all that. Is that kind of where you find your peace?
It's a good question. I think with anything, at least for me, it's taken time to be able to understand and develop the mindset when I'm in those spaces. So like anything else, there's a progression of mindset improvement. So let's say when I first started doing this, let's say I'm running a 50K. The way I feel in that the first time isn't going to be how I feel now mentally, because I've already experienced a lot of the discomfort. It's familiar. I know what it is. It's not surprising. It's not jolting. I'm not freaking out. What the hell am I feeling? Right? It's normalized now. So when I feel something now, because I've done it so many times, I can anticipate what the discomforts are going to be. Mm-hmm. I already know. So for example, when I'm running 60K for 52 days, I'm going into it not thinking, or thinking it's going to be discomfort for 52 days, entire process. I'm not going into it, oh, I hope I don't feel discomfort because I trained a lot. That makes sense? Yeah, so yeah. I already know it's going to suck. Cool. I've already been there. So I've already tested the body. I've already become used to it. So now to your point about regular day-to-day life, of course it helps. Because I've already put my mind through all kinds of garbage. So when something happens in my day to day, I'm like, okay, whatever. It doesn't bother me as much because I have perspective. And with the perspective, it shifts everything. So I'm giving myself perspective by doing these things. It's not so much a physical thing. It's giving me perspective from a mental way of thinking. So now I can navigate challenges better than I did before.
You know, and that goes back to where we started with just like challenging somebody, whoever is listening to this, just the challenge just to get out there. And, you know, it might be, you know, they'll say, well, I can't do 60K. Well, we're not asking you to do 60K. So challenge yourself for 15 minutes. But like you said, like in the mindset of it, right? So if you challenge yourself for 15 minutes and you say that you can't do it, of course, you're not going to be able to do it, right? So, mm-hmm. you challenge yourself for the 15 minutes to tell yourself that you can do it, then just do it. And then tomorrow, say, maybe make it 17 minutes, you know, and, or make it to the point where it's like, okay, well, I literally can't do anymore. Even if it's only, like you said, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't really matter. If you're always going to be comparing yourself to somebody, if I'm always going to compare myself to Satchel Lati, then I'm never going to get anything done.
Yeah, I know. And listen, man, you know, I'm training to break the record to run across Canada, but for me, that's not the hardest thing. I already done the hardest thing. Starting,
yeah.
Honestly, man, the reason why I'm not so daunted by the task of running across Canada is because running my very, very, very first 100 kilometers was equivalent to the challenge of running across Canada.
There you go.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's same exactly mindset. The same. Yep. It's exactly the same thing, man, because it still sucked for 15 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So for me, and I never experienced that feeling before. I never experienced like how crappy that felt. So to run across Canada, I already know, like, it's all the things I've already done in preparation to do these things were much harder than, because I was a different human. I had a different mindset. I had different challenges. I was struggling mental health, like all these different things. Now those things are kind of easy. Like, I've kind of settled those things in my life now to where, okay, I'm just training, man. Okay, whatever. It's going to do, you know what I mean? So I hope that makes sense. What I'm trying to illustrate here is, like, when I first started running, that was way harder than me attempting to run across Canada. Cause I'm already that guy. I'm already that guy now. So for anybody listening to this, I am not special whatsoever. I'm maybe mediocre and maybe average intelligence. So there are so many other people out there that could do what I'm doing a million times better, and they already are doing it. So I'm just kind of wanting to see what I can do because I want to be like that. And for me, I always wanted to strive for more. I just didn't know how to do it. But now I kind of have a rough idea how to do it. And now I want to see. That's it.
Yeah. So the key takeaway for anybody listening to this is to begin. Start doing whatever it is. And whether it may be a new job even, you know what I mean? It could be just that. That could be your start to something different, right? Or that could be a challenge to something different. And so if you're going to challenge yourself on a physical way, maybe start just by, you know, like we talked about off camera, just take your dog for a walk, take your kids. If that's what your motivation is your kids, take your kids for a walk, put them in the wagon and pull them around the block. You don't have to pull them to, you know, 10 miles. Just do something different, right? That's
how it goes. And I think, like to your point, look, I'm not just focused on the physical either. I'm focused on everything I can try to improve on, right? Like, and that goes for everything in my life. If I can excel or put in the hard effort with physical things, maybe that's what I kind of gravitate to. I don't gravitate to education, math, sciences, all these other things like other people might. Mm-hmm. And that might be their 100K, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm trying to be a balanced individual and trying to be better at all the things. Do you think I know the slightest thing about charities and funds and all this stuff? Not even remotely. Do you think I know how to knew how to put on an event and a gala and raise a ton of money? I had no freaking clue. I did all of that within 60 days, like putting on the Night to Inspire within 60 days.
Yeah.
Right. And we raised $21,000. I had no freaking clue, man. Right. And do you think I had any idea how to negotiate sponsorship deals, any idea on how to brand clothing? Like none of it. But, you know, you every single time that I thought, man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't want to do this. This is freaking hard, man. I don't, like, I'm out of my depth. I went into it. I didn't run away from it. And, man, I tell you, like, all the things that I hear from people, most people are, I got to contain myself because I don't want to use any foul language. But most people are weak, man, straight up. And I'm just trying to follow the lead of strong people. And from these people that I've learned from is chase adversity every moment. Because if you think of something that is a challenge, why is it a challenge? Or why are you scared of it? Why are you running away from something? Engage it, because if you engage the thing, you're going to become better. So for me, I've been out of my employment for 6 months receiving this much money every single day. I've been hustling every single day just to pay my bills. But I electively did that. I voluntarily did that to myself. I didn't return back to the law enforcement. I said, I'm out, even though I was scared shitless. I'm making over 100 grand a year, all the benefits, all the things. But I thought, you know, this is uncomfortable. Okay, let me leave. And not having any idea what I was going to do. It forced me to figure out how to at least survive. And I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not tested my mind through all these physical endeavors. So yeah, man, I'm maybe an athlete, but I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm probably going to do all kinds of crazy things. And, you know, I have visions of many things. I'm not just one dimensional, right? It's trying to be the best version of yourself in everything.
Having drive, like, you know, like yourself and like Greg, you know, is very key to everything that you guys are trying to do, obviously. And not only physically, but, you know, mentally, emotionally, you know, to have that ability to stay strong that way and, you know, not let anything really like that bother you. That's, you know, that's a huge thing. Like that's a huge life.
But you know, the cool thing, it's available to anybody.
It is. It's inside everybody who's listening to this right now. It's inside of everybody.
I want to share something with you. You guys know our friend Sean Taylor, right?
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, before I was going to kick off on one of my very, very first ultra marathons, I had no clue what I was doing. He was down in the Vancouver area with his family, and he and I went for a coffee just to kind of, you know, whatever, right? Solve the dolphin language. And we're talking, and for me, it was a shock. I don't know why I say shock, but he helped me a lot during a certain period of time in my life, right? And for me, I was always questioning, I mean, why did you help me? Like, what was, like, this is exactly what I thought. Man, you're a white guy in Rosslyn, BC. I'm a brown kid in Vancouver. Why do you even give a shit? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Right. And then I started asking more questions. I was like, oh, why are you helping? Because I started seeing some progress. I was getting this, that, and the other. And he said, and I was almost kind of searching for a compliment, you know, like digging for it. You know how you sometimes people do that? I was kind of doing that.
Yeah. It's human nature. Yeah.
So he's like, look, man, he said something to the effect of like, look, I go, why did you help me? And he goes, well, because he said something kind of cool and it was nice. It was like, you're exceptional or special or something. Right. And then he's like, but here's the kicker. Everyone is, they just have to tap into it. And that stuck with me, man, because everyone, I'm not special. Anybody can do exactly what I'm doing. Same with him. It just, how much effort and work are you willing to put into the thing? And how many things are you willing to sacrifice? And that's the question. People want to do a lot of things, but no one wants to do the work. People want to do a lot of things and want to be famous, want to have millions of dollars, but no one wants to do the shit that's required, man. And it probably is a 5 or 10 year grind of just struggling in silence and quiet and doing the things. And, you know, people say that David Goggins blew up 5 years ago, bro. He's been running for 20 years. He ran before anybody knew who he was across the United States, like from LA to New York, unsupported. Like, he's done these things and nobody knows about it. So like, it's not like he just came up and started running. He was winning ultra marathon 100 milers for years. Like, he was winning them. So, you know, it's, you got to put in the work, man. And it to become exceptional at anything requires 10 years. So like, if you put in the effort for 10 years, man, you're gonna be the best salesperson, you're gonna be the best athlete, you're gonna be the best doctor, you're gonna be the best whatever. How long does it take to get a black belt in judo? Probably close to 10 years, right?
Or more, depending maybe, when you start.
Right. So let's say, jiu-jitsu, black belt, 10 years.
Yep.
Right. The real hard martial arts take a good 10 years to get anywhere. And so that's like, I'm starting to see that in everything that I do. If you want to become a writer or a public speaker, all these things take time and effort. And you got to put your, the time in, the reps in over a period of time. And I think people can do that concurrently. You just, but then that's why it takes 10 years. You do a 1% here, 1% here, 1% here, and over a 10-year period, then you're there.
It's fun that what you just described is the Hive Nation. We talk about mentorship all the time, right? And so what Sean did for you there, that's what a true mentor does, right? That's
100%.
That's what 100%. A mentor does. And that's what a mentor will do for anybody. It doesn't have to be for Satch Latty or Greg Cooper. It can be for anybody, right? It 100%. Literally can be for anybody. And if you say to yourself, well, I don't need a mentor, I would suggest you change that attitude, because everybody should have a mentor. Maybe five of them, you know, to be honest. You should have different aspects of to how somebody views your life in general, not just the life that you see through your eyes, but life in general.
I agree, man. Like, you can call them mentors, you can call them teachers, you can call them friends, you can call them whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, we're all learning from somebody. And if you're not, then why aren't you?
Exactly.
Like, why aren't you, man? Like, listen, I don't know everything. And if I thought I knew everything, I'd still be in the shit right now.
Exactly.
You know, I had to get to a point where I don't know anything. Mm. Right. And then and have that. I mean, look, I do know things, but walk into the room as if you don't know anything and have an open mind. I was having a conversation with a potential business partner the other day, and he was saying something similar. He was like, look, man, I go into a room with an open mind, and I'm going to learn anything from anyone who's in that room. Even if they don't think they have something to offer, I'm going to find it, you know? And it could be just as simple as someone who's the best husband. Maybe I'm not good at that kind of stuff, man. And I want to see this dude over here. What's he doing that makes him a good father and a good husband and all these things? Cause you know, you want to live a good life, right? So we always have things. And I think people, and I was one of them, because of the ego, think, oh, I know everything. What am I going to learn from this loser over here?
Yeah.
Man, that's not the right way to think, man. There's always something you can take a small piece from somebody and put in your back pocket and apply it for yourself.
Yeah. We've been in that place where the person in the room has thought they're the smartest person in the room.
You can see it.
And they're in a wrong spot. I'll tell you that for free. Because if you can't, like you said, if you can't pick something from somebody says, and if you're just so closed-minded that you're never going to do that, you're in a wrong spot.
That made me think of the story. This literally happened 2 days ago at judo. I was coaching my 5 to 8 year olds. And every once in a while, I do something, you know, funny to throw them off, right? Because the kids are smart. They know the routine. So I stood in line with them while we were warming up. And this one little girl, she turns around, she goes, you're not supposed to be in line. You're the sensei. You're the teacher. And I'm like, I'm just a student like you. And she's like, no, you're a black belt. And I'm like, but Sensei Ralph has a fifth dan. Sensei John has a fifth dan. My sensei's a sixth dan. I'm still learning and I can learn from you. And she was like, her mind was blown.
That's awesome.
Like, through serendipity or whatever, 20 minutes later I'm showing a technique and she goes, I'm like, yes. She's like, so it's kind of like putting a key in a lock. And that's how she like connected this rollover. And I'm like, that's actually the best way I've heard somebody describe it. That's exactly what we're doing.
And here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing, man. Maybe if you didn't say that to her before class, she wouldn't have raised her hand.
Yeah. That's so.
Gave her the courage possibly. Right.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, man. I mean, those are the things that I think are super important to remember and actually articulate. That's to me, that's cooler than, I don't know, running 60K a day for 52 days. Like, that's cool, man. Cause it's impacting a kid right then and there in real time. Like, I could run 60K for 52 days and not see a freaking person, right? And for me, I like to see that tangible in that moment with that person, the improvement right then and there. And that's kind of like that instant gratification. I need to not, you know, follow that too much, but I'm still a human, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, what you said there is a pretty cool story.
Yeah, thanks, dude. The other thing that I was thinking about when we were talking here is a quote my mentor shared with me. It's from George Bernard Shaw. Life is not about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. And I think it just like really nails what we're talking about. So with that in mind, when you're in this life, creating yourself, creating, you know, tomorrow's version of Satch, where do you look for that inspiration? Is it, you know, from your culture, you know, somebody, your mentor, or all of them, I'm assuming?
I think it's a amalgamation of everybody, I think, right? I don't know what it is, man. I have this crazy burning desire to do something. And I suspect it probably originated from my parents, right? And I got lost along the way a little bit. And then it got reignited again after a few years. But my dad's had that burning desire. My brothers had that burning desire, and they've achieved certain things. And I never really felt I found my thing until a few years ago. And now that burning desire, that passion is ignited. And I think that's what people need. For them to be activated, that passion has to be there for whatever it is, man. Whatever that thing is, man, find it. Because once you find the passion for the thing, then you're unstoppable, because then you're going to engage whatever the process is to be the best version of who you need to be from that passion. The passion is the gasoline, the fuel, the nitrous oxide, well, I mean, whatever you want to call it, man. That's what gets you to go. What keeps you going is the passion for the thing that you're trying to do. Because when it gets hard, as it inevitably will, if you don't have the passion, you're like, screw this, man, it's too hard. But if you're passionate about it, you're like, I want to get in it. Even if it's hard, man, I need to figure it out. And I think that's an important piece.
So the one thing, Seth, Greg and I have always replaced passion with the word purpose. Mm. And, you know, so instead of being always, everybody always overuses passion, right?
Sure.
I'm so passionate. But if you put it towards a purpose, right? Now that changes the meaning of the word passion now a little bit, right? So, you know, purpose, if you're purposeful, you know, it changes you. And you kind of answered it, but I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, Satch.
That's okay.
What gets Satch Laddie out of bed every morning?
Purpose.
Nailed it.
I love it. Yeah, you're welcome, Satch.
Because it's absolutely right, and you're right. That's a much better term to use, because it purpose is different than passion. Purpose has passion in it, but a direction, right?
Yeah.
And you know, anybody. For some people, their purpose is, you know, my kids, my wife, my this, my that, and that's all great and dandy. And whatever it is, find that purpose, what gets you driven to do the things that you want to do. And then that's pretty simple, actually. If you distill it down to something very simple, find a purpose in life and apply it throughout your entire life. And then you should be good to go.
Nothing has to be real complicated in anything that we do. People overcomplicate things every day, and you don't have.
I think it's because, and then I was there too, man. I think it's because the lack of patience we have, because I want to be able to have the thing right now. And I'm starting to understand, and it's still a challenge for me, but to do anything, it takes time, and you got to keep doing the things and keep doing them over and over and over again. And then one day you can hopefully get to where you want to be, or at least closer to the person that you want to be, and then see where the chips fall where they may, right?
Yep. Agreed.
Love it. So to go back to your challenge, and actually, I don't think I've ever asked this. Is there a significance of 60 and 52?
So 60 kilometers a day for 52 days would take me directly to the Terry Fox Memorial in Thunder Bay.
Awesome.
So that's kind of where that 52 comes from. So thanks for asking the question. Initially I was thinking about running directly to Thunder Bay and stopping there, but I pivoted because So last year when I ran those 22 marathons, a lot of it was in solitary, right? I was solid, like alone, most of it, until I got to closer to the Vancouver area. And so like anything we do, we reflect on how to do things better. And I think, you know, if I were running directly to Thunder Bay right now at the stage at where I'm at, wouldn't be as, look, it's not just about running, it's about engaging communities, it's about increasing awareness and all these other things, right? So it's not about running, it's about connecting. So if I'm running and I'm alone most of the time, how am I connecting with people? And how am I engaging people? I'm not, at least I don't think I'm optimizing it. So I think I still need another year of engaging with people. And so I decided to change it from running directly to Thunder Bay, just staying within the community, running in different towns and engaging, creating sort of, so for example, what I mean, June 5th is Global Running Day. I'll be starting my run then. I'll be doing it at the premier fitness facility in Western Canada called West Coast Iron. West Coast Iron is a bodybuilder's mecca in Western Canada, right? It's a huge place. They have different, various different pro bodybuilders there, the owners, and it's, you know, it's the mutant mecca. Like it's a big deal gym, right? And I wanted to do it there because they have a ton of community members. And what I'll probably do is engage with them, take them with me, and kind of we'll do the run and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do in each town. Find a place, set up shop, and then see if anybody wants to join me while I'm doing 15, 20 kilometer, 30 kilometer loops kind of thing. And we'll see how that does. And then hopefully through that, I can create enough of engagement, more followers, all that kind of stuff. And then when I kick off to run across Canada is when I'm going to really do the press releases, really engage with the media, and then just fan that whole thing out so that we can get a ton of people out. And I know it can be done because I have a friend right now who's running across Canada and he's doing 75 kilometers a day and his exposure has been phenomenal. And he's done an amazing job. He went from 10,000 Instagram followers to like after 40 days is almost at 100,000. And the engagement, like he's in Toronto right now and he's crushing it, man. There's hundreds of people following him. Awesome. So, you know, if we can move in that direction, and he's doing it for the Heart and Stroke Foundation. I mean, he's already raised over $100,000, right?
Awesome.
His name's Ryan Keeping. And look, he's a young kid, 26 years old. I mean, he's doing something now. I'll be running with him when he comes to Vancouver, July 6th or 7th, in and around that time frame. But yeah, like, so like that's kind of what I want to create also when I end up running across Canada. And I don't think I'm quite there yet. So I have to put in a bit more work.
So how, if anybody's listening to this, how can they connect with you in order to help you, you know,
get outreach?
So
yeah, what people can do is they can connect to, directly to me through my Instagram. They can also, if they want, they can donate directly to the fund, which helps pay for a lot of the things that I'm doing. It also, so let me take a back step here. So the fund is, I have it set up in my bio in the link tree. So people can go directly there. They can donate however much they want. They can get a tax receipt. It'll be issued immediately. And then, so through that, my goal this year was to raise $30,000 for the Honor House Society. We're already at $21,000. So my commitment to them is 30K. So I just need to raise another nine. Once that 9,000 is raised, now the rest of the funds will be going towards a conference. The conference that we're going to take, the one that I had the Night to Inspire, we're going to take that on tour. And we're going to take that to Toronto, Ottawa, and Halifax in the fall. So the money that we're going to generate will go to that fund to help put on this conference, to help raise more money. And what we're trying to do there is bring the amazing people that we have within our community and have them share their wisdom to people that may not have known who they are. So, you know, let's say we have a Sean Taylor, Seb Lavoie, Travis Bader, like a whole bunch of these people coming and sharing their experiences in a conference sort of setup. And then allowing people to ask questions, you know, Q&As, you know, things like that. And, you know, the whole sort of system that, you know, which is really kind of growing in Canada and the US right now is like these big sort of conventions, conferences, PBD, Patrick Bet David, like all these different kind of Q&A kind of system. So, you know, we're moving in that direction. So that's where the funds that are going to be generated will go towards that into the charities. And then ultimately, if that's successful in the fall, those three dates, Then we're going to go to Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Regina. We're going to do all the smaller towns. But again, I'm learning how to do everything, right? So this is kind of the journey and the process. So I hope I answered the question, which I totally forgot.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We'll have all your links on on ours as well. So anybody can find it on the links on this video.
Yeah, also actually, sorry. So any corporations that are willing to donate any funds, we also not only like significant $5,000, $10,000, $25,000 kind of funds. Now, when if someone's going to be donating that amount, obviously you get your tax receipt, but then we'll do things for you. So it's got to be a synergistic benefit, right? So now I've created a platform amongst many, many, many people. If someone's going to be a corporate sponsor, now we're going to be highlighting them throughout all the social media that we do, all the film. Like I have a film crew now, so the film crew is going to be tracking a lot of the things. So there's going to be benefit to other people, not just to the charity, but you know, you get your tax receipt, but also we're going to raise the awareness for what you guys are doing and trying to support a community of people that are struggling with mental health.
Awesome.
When you're actually on the run, I know you're going to set, you got your schedule set. If anybody wants to join in on the run, how can they do that? You know,
maybe 100%. Yeah, man. I want people, you know, like, yeah. Anybody who wants to join 5 kilometers, 1 kilometer, 10, whatever the amount is, message me, hit me up, DM me in my Instagram. I encourage people to do it. Because I'm not going to be running super fast. Right. These are going to be, you know, slower runs. And, this whole process is to connect with people, man, and share what we're doing. So, yeah, please, anybody who wants to join, anybody who wants to be part of something, DM me and let's do it.
Love it. Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Satch, always a pleasure. Like, you're always a guy that I can't wait to chat with all the time. It's just one of those things.
That
just,
man, I appreciate that. Thanks, man. Hey, man, I dig talking to you guys, man. You guys are legit. That's why I'm thinking you guys are in Regina, right?
Saskatoon.
Okay, well, then we might have to come to Saskatoon then.
When are you running from Edmonton to Calgary again?
That'll be July 13th. The date's tentatively July 13th. And I think it'll probably take me 4 days. I think it's about 400 kilometers or something. In around there. So it'll take me about 4 days. So yeah, that's another thing. You know, I'm still looking for support for these things. So like if anybody in the Edmonton, Calgary area, is anybody willing to support crew, anybody who wants to join in, anybody's got a vehicle, a van, you know, all these things, like I'm still trying to figure out how to get these things sorted out. And, you know, I'm trying to have that outreach to see if anyone's willing to volunteer or a company or dealership is willing to sponsor a vehicle so that we can use it to, you know, just the person can, whoever's supporting me or crewing me, we have all the food in the truck while I'm running from Calgary to Edmonton. And the same thing for Toronto. If there's a rental space there or something, you know, trying to find people to support. And I think through those processes and when people are engaged in that capacity, things grow a lot faster. And yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Well, I'm definitely going to reach out to my network for you, Satch. Mm-hmm. That's my promise to you right now.
Thanks,
of man. All, in that same type of context, and on the first time when you were on the podcast, I made a plea to Nike, Adidas, or Under Armour, I believe, in order to reach out to you. Have they reached out to you yet?
No.
Oh, that's it. That's it. It's DEFCON 3. Today is DEFCON 3 for Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. So heads up, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, man.
Sponsor, hey, listen, staff, we're going to cancel you.
Listen, hey, man. And, you know, I get it. Some companies, you know, they sometimes they like that tax receipt benefit. So now we can do that. So anybody who wants a tax receipt and wants to help out the first person of color to run across Canada and, you know, an older guy, you know, when I run across Canada, I'll be 47. And, you know, I think there's a story there and there's a compelling story. Well, I mean, if you think about it, like a lot of people who are doing this, like the guy who's running right now, Ryan Keeping, he's 26, man. And, you know, it's a challenge being in your 40s or 50 to do something like this, because I have the responsibilities of a father. I have the responsibilities of someone who's in the community. Like I have a lot of things that I got to figure out and manage. and sacrifice, man. Like, it's not, this journey has not been easy, and it's been very lonesome and alone because people just don't get it. And it's a lonely journey, man. I don't have anyone around me. I do everything by myself for the most part. I mean, I've had people come in and out, but at the end of the day, man, I'm by myself every single day in a basement suite trying to figure out how to do something positive for other people. And so I would be lying if I didn't say I've been frustrated from time to time, because I feel like I'm trying to do something that's super positive, and I'm trying to get as much support as possible, but I haven't been getting the support I think. I haven't been getting the support that I thought I would get. Mm. Right. So having said that, I'm not complaining. We just keep working, keep moving forward, and keep grinding, and it'll happen eventually.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Sach, it's always a pleasure. June 4th, yeah, Hive Nation, follow along for 52 days. Well, Sach does amazing things for amazing people. But for now, Hive Nation, we're out.